Good morning. Last week, we began the sugya of Shomrim. We ended off with a story. A person went to Eretz Yisrael. A neighbor asked to bring along a cake for his for a relative. The fellow, while he was in transit, got tired of schlepping the cake around. So at some point, he just took it, threw it in the garbage. And when he got to Eretz Yisrael, he bought another cake and delivered it. Turns out that the cake was not just a cake. There were $150,000 worth of diamonds inside. And the question was, is this Shomer responsible for the loss? So we began discussing, we pointed out there are three separate issues that we have to deal with. The first is the idea of a Kabbalah Betoyus. You agreed to be a Shomer on a cake. You did not agree to be a shomer to accept responsibility to smuggle diamonds into Eretz Yisrael. So there's a Ma'arik based on a Mordechai that says whenever you're given something to watch, someone gives you a shor, I guess asks you to watch their pet, their puppy for a few days. You take the animal and then you find out it's a trained attack dog, it's a pit bull. So there's a Kabbalah Betoyus. You agreed to watch it, to accept the job with the expectation that you have to do a certain amount of care. It turns out it's much more difficult to watch. So there you are not responsible. If the animal goes ahead, it's mazik, it turns out it's a shohar mu'ad, you're going to be pater. Now there is a machlokes how far to take this concept. The Ma'arik learns that once there's a mistake, once you thought you were accepting something which was simple and straightforward to watch, and in reality it's much more complex, he says the whole shmira, the whole agreement is off, and you're no longer a shomer. Which means, if you go ahead, you have this dog, and it gets stolen, the fact that it was stolen, even if you left the doors open, you didn't lock the door, you were a pesheya, you're going to be pater. Because a pesheya, a shomer, someone who's responsible to watch something, who is negligent, has to pay. Over here, you're not a shomer. Since the entire Kabbalah was betoyus, you would never have accepted it had you known what was involved. Therefore, you have no responsibilities of a shomer, and even if you're negligent, as long as you don't rise to the level of a mazik or arvus, which we discussed last week, you're going to be pater. Shaar Mishpat argues. Shaar Mishpat says that it depends. He says, if the owner misrepresented the difficulty, so he says, that added level of difficulty you're not responsible for. However, you still are a shomer. In other words, the owner gives you the animal and says it's a puppy. Turns out it's a dangerous animal. So if it goes ahead and hurts someone else, you're not responsible. It's the owner's liability. Because you agreed to guard a puppy, not this dangerous animal, which requires more shmira. So the fact that you didn't do this extra shmira is not your responsibility. On the other hand, if you're negligent with something that is not related to the mistake, it's not related to this added difficulty, there the Shaar Mishpat says you're going to be chayiv. It's only that extra level of complexity that you never accepted, that's not your responsibility. But anything, if the shio or the damage happens in another area, this is not going to be a defense. Shaar Mishpat also adds that this halacha is only when the owner knew what the issue was and he didn't tell you. Since he didn't tell you or he misrepresented the difficulty, so there, you're not responsible. It's a pshia. It's anything that happens because you didn't know what was involved is the result of the negligence of the owner. It's not the shomer's responsibility. However, Zokta Shaar Mishpa, what will be if the owner didn't know? You have a case and someone gives you jewelry to watch, and while you're carrying it in transit, a diamond pops out, and it turns out that it was loose. The setting wasn't done correctly. So if the owner knew about the flaw and didn't disclose it, so then, Zokta Shaar Mishpat, then he caused or contributed to the loss, and therefore the shomer is not responsible. Ma'ashenkin, if the owner didn't know either, so there, it's not his pshia, it's not his negligence. There, as a shomer, you have a responsibility to be careful, you have a responsibility to look over or inspect anything that you have, and there you're going to be chayiv. It's only when the owner knows and doesn't disclose it, there you'd be pater. Now, translating it to the case that we have at hand, over here, you accept the responsibility to carry a cake. You do not accept responsibility to smuggle something through customs. And therefore, according to the Ma'arik, certainly this entire Kabbalah would be betoyus, since it is much more difficult and much more dangerous to smuggle diamonds than it is to bring in a cake. So therefore, according to the Ma'arik, there would be no shmira over here, and you'd be pater even if there was a pshia. Ma'ashe'enken, according to the Sha'ar Mishpat, if you get stopped in customs and it gets taken away, so even if there was some level of negligence, you'd be pater, because this smuggling through customs is not something that you took responsibility for. And the owner that represented that it's a cake, that fooled you into thinking you can just walk straight through, you can declare it, it would be his fault, and you'd be potter. Masha'enkein, if while you're on the plane, while you're on the flight, you just left the thing unattended and you didn't watch it, you were pesheya. So according to the Sha'ar Mishpat, and it gets stolen, according to the Sha'ar Mishpat, you'd be chayiv. What? That's the next point. But according to the Sha'ar Mishpat, this idea, let's just discuss the cake. According to the Sha'ar Mishpat, you cannot say the whole Kabbalah was a toyus, since your negligence and what happened had nothing to do with the mistake or with this added level of danger, and therefore according to the Sha'ar Mishpat, you would be a shomer and you would be responsible. Now that's the first point. The second point is what you're raising, is let's say the shomer was negligent. It's true he was negligent, and he's more than willing to pay the $15 for the cake. On the other hand, is he responsible for the $150,000 of diamonds? So this, l'chayra, is also a halacha mefureshes, that Gemara has a case where if someone has a golden item, he hands it to a shomer and says, please watch it for me, please watch my silver for me. So the halacha is, the shomer is only responsible for the value of the silver. Since you can only become a shomer if you agree, you accept to responsibility for an item. If you have accepted responsibility for for silver, you cannot be held liable for the added value of the gold, since you never knew about it, you did not accept responsibility for that. No, sorry. Okay, so it's two separate points. Sha'ar Mishpat's case is where it's more difficult to care for. When it's more difficult to care for, the Ma'arik says the whole deal is off, and therefore you repatriate, you don't pay a dime. Nothing, because the whole Kabbalah was a toyus. Sha'ar Mishpat says no. When you're given something, you have responsibility to look at it, see what it needs, and you're going to be responsible. The Sha'ar Mishpat agrees that if when it was given to you, there was a misrepresentation, so you're not responsible for that added level of work. In this case, the person specifically told you, at least in the Gemara's case, they specifically told you it's only silver. Can you take care of it for me? So in that case, they asked you to take responsibility for silver. That's all you're responsible for. And therefore, if it turns out that it's worth more, that extra amount, you're not responsible for. Now, this case is pretty straightforward, where the owner misrepresented its value. So over there, since you accepted, you agreed to watch silver, that's the only thing you're responsible for. And even if it turns out it's gold, that extra value is not your responsibility. There's a machlokes, there's a Mordechai, there's a question of how to interpret the Mordechai, but there's a machlokes how far to take this. The Mordechai has an example where a person borrowed a sword. Swords apparently typically were worth, again, let's say $100 a piece. The person took the sword, he went to war, did whatever he did with the sword. It was lost. And when it came time to pay, the owner said, this was a special sword, this was Napoleon's sword, $50,000. So Zok the Mordechai, based on our halacha, your potter. Since when you accepted the sword, you thought this is a typical sword, you didn't realize that it had its historical value, therefore you only have to pay for the value of a normal sword. Hezek, okay, that's the third point. No, this is it's fair market value to anyone is $50,000. It's not sentimental that it's your Alta Zayda swords, therefore you're going to pay more. This is a Shar Shebashok. Everyone would pay this amount because of its historical value. So the Mordechai says that based on this Gemara, L'chayr, you'd only have to pay the value of a typical sword. Just like when you accept something when you're thinking that it's silver, even if it turns out it's gold, you're not responsible for the extra. Who I did over here, where its sword is typically worth $100, you didn't realize it's tremendous historical value. Your liability would be limited to the value of a typical sword. Now the Marshal and the Ktsois take issue, and they say that no. In the Gemara's case, the owner said, "Can you watch my silver for me?" So similar to the svara that we said in the Shaar Mishpat, the owner said it's only silver. That's all I want from you is responsibility for silver. So if it turns out that it's gold, that's the owner's problem, not yours. Over here, he gave you a sword. He didn't tell you what its value is or what its value isn't. You jumped to conclusions what its value, what you thought it was worth. You figured it was a typical sword, and it wasn't. Therefore, Zokta Marshal, in this case, where there's no misrepresentation, you just jumped to your own conclusions, there the Marshal said you'd be responsible for the full value of the sword. What? Very few, but you had the bad mazel of taking one, and as a shomer, as a shoyl in that case, you have responsibility for whatever it is. Now, the Shach and the Taz have sort of a pshara. They say it depends. If you borrow jewelry, now you know, some necklaces are $1,000, some of them could be $100,000. You know that the value of jewelry is something you need an expert, it needs a shuma. You're not an expert. So just because you assume it's worth, you just guess what its value is, Zok L'Shach and Taz, in that case, even if it's extremely expensive, you're going to be responsible for its full value. Ma'isha ain kain, a sword, if every sword in the world, this is its value, $100, $150, whatever it is, this punkt is Napoleon's sword and has tremendous value, there it's something which is loy havalei lasuke adaite, in such an extreme case, he says in that case, there the Shach and Taz say that even the Mordechai would be moida, that you'd be pater. Now going back to our case, you were asked to bring a cake. Now although the owner may not have told you how much the cake costs, but clearly you were told that it's the value of a cake. So over here, if it turns out that it's worth, there are $150,000 worth of diamonds, here, lukuliyam, you would not be responsible for the added value. Let me buy according to the Shach and Taz, where a cake is something that has a clear value, and this is something which is you know, no one would expect it to be worth more. But even according to the Marshal, and even according to the Ktsoi, since the owner specifically said, take this cake, he represented that you're only dealing with a cake, therefore, l'kuliyam, the added value, you would be potter. Now, the problem that we had, and which we just started discussing last week, is this is all in Hilchus Shomrim. You accept to watch something, so you've only taken responsibility for the value that was represented to you. You're not liable for any extra value that you were not told about. The problem over here is that what happened is that the fellow who was going to Eretz Yisrael got tired of schlepping it around. He took the cake and he threw it in the garbage. Now, if you take someone's cake and throw it in the garbage, there, forget about Hilchus Shomrim. Here, you're a mazik. You're taking it, you're being ma'abed it, but you're dying. You're destroying it, you're putting it into a place of ibud. So bishloima, if you had had the cake and it got stolen along the way, you were pesheya. You didn't watch it, you left it on your seat, you went to visit the first class section for an hour or two, you came back, it's gone. That's a pshia. So then we can discuss hilchus shomrim. But over here where you took it and be yadayim, you threw it into the garbage, you're a mazik. And l'chor mazik has different halachas. By a mazik, the Gemara says, that if a mazik goes ahead and takes something, even though the owner had said, look at my silver, the person takes it and throws it into the garbage, or throws it into the water. So over there, even though he thought it was silver, who asked him to go ahead and throw it into the ocean? Who asked him to be mazik? And therefore, when you're dealing with Hilchus mazik, you're responsible for its full value, even though you didn't realize it. And therefore, al pi pashtus, in this case, if you were just pesheya and it got stolen, you only pay for the cake. If you're a mazik be a dayim, you should be responsible for the full amount. It's not it. It's again. If you light a fire in the terminal and it burns, it we can talk about it. We can talk about ish. Over here, be a dayim, put it in a place where it's hayul liibur.
What do you mean be a mazik? Let's say you put the cake, you left it somewhere deliberately.
putting it in a place. There's a nesivus that speaks that if you take something and you very carefully and lovingly place it down on the street in Midtown Manhattan and walk away, you're not a pesheya there. You're a mazik biyadayim. Now, placing something in a garbage can is a very similar thing. It is you're putting it in a place where it will be hailech li'ibud. Well, the owner had it. It was shomer until you put it in the garbage.
That's not true. It was not shomer clap. It's only shomer because of me, because I'm watching it. So the only effect by putting it in the garbage had is that I stopped watching it. It's equally other in either case.
There's a difference between something that's in a garbage and something that is sitting that is that.
There's
that,
no
that,
difference between a diamond and a cake in the middle of a lot of the garbage. Diamond and a local watch.
Okay, I hear. Okay, if you want to create an umdana, and this umdana is a daik to the hachi and a non-sadi, if there is such a non-sadi, you'll be potter. But any case that you deal with in Chodesh Mishpah, you can always say that this is different, and here there's an understanding, and that would change the halacha. Okay, so if it comes up, you'll have to dan. But as far as the ikar halacha, in a normal case, in Hilchos Mazik, this is not a p'tor. Okay, very good. So we'll get that in a minute. But this leads us to another problem, or another shaila, and that is even the Gemara that says with Zohav and Kesef. The Gemara later on has a case where a person was mazik something, and there's a question of actually let's take a step back for a moment. What happened over here? Someone handed you a cake and said, "Bring it to Eretz Yisrael." You took the cake, you threw it in the garbage. When you get to Eretz Yisrael, you're informed that this cake had $150,000 worth of diamonds. How do you know that this is really true? You trust the fellow? I mean, the only thing we know about him is that he's a smuggler. For that matter, whenever you're a mazik, someone has an envelope, you go over to him, you take the envelope, you throw it into the water. You're a mazik, you have to pay. How much do you pay? So normally the halacha is, if he happens to have two Edim Ksherim that just a moment before saw him stuff the envelope with $10,000 of cash, and then a minute later you threw it at the halacha ibud, you'd clearly be responsible. But what happens in a typical case? There's no real way. We don't have two Edim Ksherim that can be made exactly what was involved. So Me'ikar HaDin, the rule, in general, the rule is, the mazik should be able to say, listen, as far as I'm concerned, the envelope was empty. I'll pay you 12 cents for the envelope. And everything else, when you prove there's damage, come back to me. However, as you can imagine, if this is the halacha, this would cause serious problems. And therefore, Chazal made a takonos, there's the takonos nigzol, which applies to a mazik as well, that when a person is mazik, if it is not known what the value or what actually he damaged, the nizik is neman, generally with a shvua, to be nizba benoito. He can make a shvua what was in the envelope, and as long as his claim is reasonable, it's something which he is amud, that he could afford, that it makes sense, that it's true, he is a nizba benoito. In other words, we've taken the burden of proof away from the nizik. He doesn't have to prove his case anymore. As long as he makes a shvua, he will force the mazik to pay. Now, of course, this creates a danger to a mazik. You can go ahead and you can take someone's envelope and be mazik it, and for all you know, it was taka empty, and the nizik will make a shvua and force you to pay large sums of money. So it's certainly not a good idea to be mazik. But Chazal, if someone has to bear the risk, they would rather put the risk on the mazik, and therefore, who asked you to be mazik in the first place? And this way, a nizik has a way of recovering as long as his claim is something which is omud b'kach.
There's a portion of the mazik, a portion
of shur. So even if it's a very high, modest thing, he has to be omud b'kach. If his claim is something unreasonable, if the nizik is someone who is known to be poor and not a very trustworthy person, and he claims there was $1 million in cash, we're not going to believe him. But if it's an amount that he is amud, that it makes sense, that he could be walking around with that kind of cash, then he would have nemanus, and he'd be a nishba v'naito. Okay. Wait. Now like this. Now the Gemara declares about if you have something which was extremely unusual to be hidden in such a thing. So there the Gemara declares whether what the halacha is. And there are two ways to interpret this Gemara. The Mechaber understands that this special takana, that a nizik is nishba v'naito, is only when he's making a normal claim. He has an envelope. He claims there's money in the envelope. Now, there are many envelopes. That's where people keep money. And therefore, it is not an extremely unusual occurrence. And therefore, if a nizik, if he claims this is full of money, he would be neman with a shvu. However, if he claims something which is extremely unusual, for example, if there's a cake and he claims there are $150,000 worth of diamonds hidden in the cake, so here there would be no takana, and the nigzol or the nizik would not be neman to make this claim unless he could prove it. So according to these rishonim, even if he'd be ready to make a shavua, since this is not a normal thing, and it's probably even worse over here because he specifically said this is a cake. Before the fact he represented that there were no diamonds; it was simply a cake. So in such a case, in the absence of Edim, the person will be potter, even if he's a mazik biyadayim. Now, if he could prove what happened, let's say there are Edim, Ksherim, who know that, in fact, there were diamonds, according to the Mechaber, if you're a mazik biyadayim, you'd be chayv. But in the absence of Edim, if it's just his claim, even if he's willing to make a shvua, the halacha is he would not be neban according to the Mechaber. The Ramah argues, the Ramah says that no, a mazik biyadayim is always going to be responsible. Because even if it's something crazy, let's shift the case. Let's say you see someone walking down the street holding a cake. You take the cake and you just throw it into the garbage where he can't get it. The person now claims there were diamonds in it. So Zug Taisvis, he's not believed. Because diamonds in a cake is something which is not very normal and should not be expected. However, if he can prove that there were actually diamonds there, then you're responsible. Because who asked you to throw it to be mazik? Who asked you to grab this cake and throw it into the garbage? This is the sheet of the Mechaber. Taisus argues. Taisus says that although adam mu'ad oilam, although a mazik biyadayim is responsible even by an oinus gomer is potter. Zuck Taisus, if something which is completely unheard of, something like diamonds in a cake, even a mazik biyadayim is going to be potter. Now, it's a chiddush. You could argue that even though it's unusual, but who asked you to be a mazik in the first place? Who asked you to take it and throw it in the garbage? And therefore, the Mechaber and the other Rishonim say, since you're not an oinus on the Maisa Hezek, the fact that you didn't anticipate its value, you're still liable. But Tosfos, and the Ramah brings this down, Mishnah Yesh Aimrim, says no. Even by a mazik biyadayim, if it's something which is totally unheard of, you would be potter. So based on that, according to Tosfos, in this case, even if we had Edom that could prove that there were in fact diamonds, he'd be potter. Again, in Lamaisa, it's very unlikely that the person has two Edom Ksherim that were involved in the scheme, he probably will not be able to prove regardless what was there, and therefore, even according to the Mechaber, you'd be potter as well. Right.
Is that worth anything?
No. The hezek was long gone by the time. The hezek happened when he threw it in the garbage. The fact that he bought another cake to replace it doesn't change his liability for what he did earlier. Okay. If you're telling me that if we've sunk to the level where everyone carrying things to Eretz Yisrael, you have to expect and you have to inspect it, and Echanami. Right. You don't have the right to do that. I mean, it's not. If it's one, what? Putting a mazik, a shomer that's watching it and decides, a shomer that takes an item, goes drives to Manhattan and says, you know what, I don't want to be a shomer anymore. He would be a mazik. Because by giving up the shmiro, a shomer doesn't have that choice. once he's responsible for it, by going ahead, taking it to a place where without the continued watching it, it's nevad, he and echnami. The nesivas would be chayiv all of those cases as a mazik. So then don't, in Hilchos Shomer, forget the diamonds. Let's just talk about the cake itself.
Right.
I think everyone would understand if you just decide it's too, you decide that it's, you don't want to schlep and you want to leave it there, you're responsible to pay at least for the value of the cake. Now, you would agree to that. Now, what that means is you're agreeing that in, as far as a Shomer is concerned, once you don't have to, you don't, want, you don't have to become, be a Shomer. If you want to tell the person, I don't want to schlep it, it's too difficult, no, you have every right to do that. But the moment you accept and you agree to become a shomer and you take it, you make a kinyan, you start the job, at that point you have a responsibility to continue. Okay, so if you tell them that, then it's fine, that it's an aveda midas. If you tell them, I will carry it as long as it's simple, but the moment it gets difficult, it's going into the garbage, then they're basically accept, telling you, take it, and it's an aveda midas. Well, that is very often, that itself will be considered a ma'isa mazik. Stopping to watch something in a place where it's avud, you took it from a place, it was shomer before. When he met you in the airport, it was perfectly guarded. Taking it and bringing it to a place where without your shmira, it will disappear, and not watching it.
What's your authority say? If I abandon something, that's abandoning my shmira and I'm capable of ability of my shmira. Where do you see that?
Because put it, this is
the liability under your theory of mazik.
The nesivas calls it a mazik miyadayim. I'll give you a better case. Let's say it's a shmira bebailim. You have no liability as a mazik, as a shomer. The nesivas says afal pikein. There's zero liability as a shomer. What you've done is it goes beyond shmira. That's a din of mazik, and you'll have to pay for its value.
That's so part, because when you have a shmira bebailim, your liability is capped.
Good. So the same way over there, we went. The same way when you have a capped liability, you can get him as a mazik. So over here, we have a capped liability because of the zav and kesef. If you're a mazik as well, you'll be able to deal with hilchos mazik, and it'll be totally in Tosfos and the Rambam. No, what? No, again, leaving if by leaving it there it will be nevad, then there's no difference between placing it in the garbage and abandoning it on a plane. If it will, if the fact is it will be nevad in either case, that doesn't make a difference whether it's in the what? Walking okay, walking. Then Yosefus's point is walking away and leaving when if a shomer leaves something in a place where without his shmira will be nevad, that itself will be a mazik. What? Yeah, he's a pesheya. Well, no, his kid, he would be a pesheya. Now, if your kid would be a mazik, you'll have to figure out the age of the child, etc. But he'll be pesheya by letting his kid get a hold of it. But anyway, the kid will probably eat it. And hopefully he won't swallow the diamonds. What? Okay, now just a similar case, which, you know, another story, a person was watching. Person went away. He asked his neighbor to watch. He had a bunch of frozen chickens. He asked him to take care of it. A few weeks later, the fellow goes down. He sees there's a terrible stench coming from the freezer, and he realizes that something happened. The fuse blew, and the chickens were all spoiled. He took them. He threw them in the garbage. Again, the fellow comes back and he claims that stuck in among these chickens was money. So this would be really essentially the same question as far as Hilchos Shomrim are concerned. The halacha is that if they said it's chickens and it's worth more, your liability is limited to the value of chickens. As far as Hilchos Mazik is concerned, that should depend on this machlokes Tosfos between the Rama and the Mechaber. This case might be better, because yesh lodoin whether throwing spoiled chickens out that were given to you to care for, where that's called a mazik b'cha. In this case, where it's already spoiled and the owner would expect you to throw it out, adarabah, he has other chickens in your freezer and they will get ruined or they will start They will smell bad if you don't get rid of the frozen ones. So there, Mistama, this taina of who asked you to touch it in the first place, Mistama does not apply. And there I saw from the Mishpat Shleima that in that case you're going to be pater. What?
The hezek.
No, the hezek was the money. No, the money was very well sealed.
That's
so
the money. You need the daddy who's ever got the shmira.
Good, but if you had shmira, but the issue is mazik. The issue is you took it, it was sitting in your freezer in a secure place, you threw it in the garbage. So in Hilchos Mazik, we have this issue. Again, Tali and Tali, Machabe and Ramah, if it's something which is totally unanticipated. But even the Ramah that says you're Chayiv over here might say that you're Potter. No, so there are very often there are heterim if you don't see it, and you go ahead, or if you mazik it b'shoigig or b'oynis, because you don't have to expect something to be there. On the other hand, if you see it there, and you just go ahead and you take an axe and smash it. So had you not known it was there, and something would have happened to it on its own. Or had you not, if I put something in your house, it's at night, you walk out and you step on it by mistake, you're going to be potter because you have no responsibility to search your own rishos. On the other hand, no. If I asked you rishos to put it here, you didn't realize its value, or you didn't. Fine. Okay, let's switch the case. Let's say you see. There's a heter to be the heter of being mazik when it's in your rishos is when you don't realize something's there. And because you don't realize that it's there, you go ahead and you bump into it because you don't expect it there. If you see it there, there's no heter to go ahead and be a dayan and be mazik.
I didn't see the catch. I knew we were holding refrigerator
down. Okay, no, it's true. I agree with you. Because you have the right to throw out the chickens, you're not a mazik. I agree with you. And that is the svara here. Because you have the right to throw out these chickens, you can't be responsible for something else that was hidden in there. Mashenkin, you had no right to throw out the chickens. They were perfectly fine. You get angry at me, you take the chickens, you dump them in the garbage. So then you may not realize there were diamonds there, but that would go into the Shiloh of Tosis. Because you're a mazik thinking you're mazik something worth $10 and it's worth $10,000. Okay, so let's put this aside. It's an interesting story. It's something which hopefully doesn't happen that often. And let's try to talk a little bit about the more normal or more common halachos of shomer. Now we mentioned that a shomer chinam, someone who is a volunteer, he's not getting paid to watch it, is only responsible for negligence. He has to watch it. He has a minimal responsibility. If he watches it in a normal way, and the item gets stolen or gets lost, the halacha is you are not responsible to pay. The question, of course, is how do we define normal watching? And how do we define negligence? Now, this is fairly subjective. As the Mechaber that we had today writes, that it depends on the item. If you have a car and you leave it locked in your driveway, that's certainly a good shmira. That's the way you normally take care of a car, at least in Muncie. On the other hand, if you have diamonds and you leave it on the driveway, even if it's locked in a car, that would probably be negligence. That would probably be a pshia. And there you would have to pay. So you very much have to look at the type of item. The Mechaber speaks out, if you have building material, you have beams, the norm is just to leave it in a courtyard because they're heavy, they're not very valuable, people don't lock it up in a safe. That is all the shmira that you need to do. In contrast, if you're dealing with money, there the Gemara says that the only way to watch money is bekarka. You would have to actually bury it. Money is something which doesn't deteriorate. Money is something which is very olol, very normal to be stolen, and therefore, at least in the times of the Gemara, the only way to guard money properly was to actually bury it. Now, the Pesukim today speak out that if anyone gives you money, you do not have to jackhammer a hole in your floor. This was only back then where the houses were less secure. There was no other, this is the normal way to watch it. Today, if a person has a safe or wherever people typically keep their money, that would be the normal shmira, and that would be enough at least for a shomer chinam. Now, a very common issue that comes up is what happens if a person is pishei? He's negligent. You give him a car to watch, and he forgets to lock the door. Now, certainly, if you don't lock the doors of a car and it gets stolen, you're a pesheya. And even though it's stolen, it's geneva, but you're going to be responsible because since it happened through your pshia, you're going to be chayiv to pay. What happens if you leave the car? The car is parked in front of your house. You forget to lock the door. You come back the next day, and you see that a drunk 18-wheeler came by and smashed the car. Now, on one hand, you're a pesheya. You didn't lock the doors. On the other hand, how much of a difference to the drunk 18-wheeler heading in your car's direction would it make whether or not the doors were locked? So you're a pesheya, but the damage that occurred is not connected in any way to the negligence. So over here, the Gemara says you're going to be potter. Because even though there's a pshia, since the negligence has no connection whatsoever to the actual damage, you're not responsible for that. However, that's in an extreme case, where the 18-wheeler and the locked car door have nothing in common. On the other hand, what happens if you park your car illegally? It's in a place where it shouldn't be. Come back the next day, but the doors are locked. You come back the next day and the car is stolen. So, on one hand, statistically, it is just as likely for them to steal a car from an illegal spot than from a legal spot. It's not more likely for it to happen. On the other hand, Yesh Ladon. The ganav came to this block, he came to this area, he saw the car and he took it. Had he been parked somewhere else, would the ganav have stolen it? Maybe not. All the other cars that were parked across the street, parked legally, he didn't take. He took this one. So over here you have a case where, although statistically there's no difference, it's just as likely to be stolen from a legal spot than is it from an illegal spot. But practically speaking, it's possible the guy that came to this area, to this side of the street, and he took this car. Had it been parked elsewhere, it may not have happened.
Was it an extra car?
What?
Was it an extra car?
No. No, typical car. So over here, this brings us to the shaila of tchilosa b'pshiyah v'saifah ba'inus. The Gemara's case is, you have money, you're supposed to bury it underground in order to keep it safe from ganavim. Person hid it in a shed, in the middle of the field. Now ganavim, it's generally don't search the fields and sheds for money. It's not a normal place to keep it. On the other, but if you leave something in the middle of the field, fires break out, and it's a pshia that it may get burnt. So you were a pshia, you exposed it to the risk of fire. What happened at the end, it got stolen. So the tchilosa pshia v'saifa b'aynis. So this is a machlokes in the Gemara. But we paskin, you're going to be chayiv. Since had you not broken the rules, had you buried it in your house, the ganav would not have come here and taken it. So even though statistically it's just as likely for a guy to come to your house as it is for him to go to the field and search through the shack, since had you not been Peshaya, had it not been in the field in the first place, in this particular case it would not have gotten lost, Trilosa Vivshia Vasaifa Bainis, you are going to be responsible. So then you'd certainly be chayiv. Even loimi boy, if it's illegal because you parked it like in the intersection. So then certainly it's tilasa v'shia v'saifa v'shia. It's your negligence that caused it. But even if not, let's say you park in a bus stop and a truck goes ahead and hits it. Now it's again, like we said before, it's not any more likely for a truck to hit a car in a bus stop than it is for it to hit a car that's parked legally. But let's look at the facts. In this case, had you not been negligent, would it have gotten hit by this truck or not? The answer is no. The truck came over here. It didn't come on the other side of the street. So this is a case of tchilasa b'shiyah v'saifa b'aynis. Since had you not been negligent, the damage would not have occurred, you're going to be responsible.
In the case of the thing you left it out in the field, it was b'shiyah v'daving another mazik.
Correct.
Here you weren't b'shiyah v'daving another. I mean, the policemen are not going to go smash the car because they're going to tow it away.
They'll tow. It'll have a hezek. It'll be towed. That itself will be the hezek. Okay. If you want to say that it's not a hezek because you'll pay if you're going to pay the ticket and therefore it won't be a damage, okay, I hear. Then you might be right. But the point is that if there's a negligence for one thing and something else happens, even though that thing was not any more or less likely. But since in the Metzias HaDvarim it happened here, it would not have happened in this case. Had you not been negligent, we hold Chulasa B'Shiyo V'Seifa B'Oinus is going to be Chayiv. No, it does have. If you're going to say that it's not called a mazik at all, because if there's a ticket, you'll just pay for it, there's no damage to the owner, then you'd be right. I'm assuming that it is a hezek because it will be taken away. He won't have it back. He'll have to pay the ticket. You'll have a nice dentira over the ticket that we'll get to in a future year. But if there is a level of pshia that you've exposed the owner to some level of risk, you haven't done your shmira, then you're going to be responsible for any oinus, even though it's not directly connected. Yes, there you'd be patur, because although you're a pesheya, that had no impact whatsoever. It's the Gemara. The equivalent case in the Gemara is you were a shomer on an animal. You brought it to a place where you shouldn't have. You brought it onto a mountain peak where it can fall down, and then it just dies a natural death. So there you were a pesheya. You brought it to a place. Had it tripped and fallen down the mountain, you'd be responsible because of your negligence. But since it just died, in Malach HaMavis, Malihocha, Malihosam, we don't assume Malach HaMavis is not hanging out over there as opposed to the valley. It's going to die. It's going to die wherever it is. So there, in that case, you are going to be potter. Now, no, it's not quite the same. No, because the 18-wheeler was here. It wasn't over there. The Malach HaMavis is not bound to a specific location. That it only kills people on the mountaintop, not in the valley. But in a case where it's location specific, a ganev came to that area. So there, it's a tchilas b'pshia v'seifa b'ainus. Now there is some discussion among the Rishonim how far or how weak a causation is enough. You know, as we had two extreme cases when the Malach HaMavis, when an animal dies a natural death, we say Malach HaMavis, Malihocha, Malihosam. It was nothing to do with the negligence of the potter. On the other hand, if you hide something in a shed, which is normally a good shmirah for ganavim, but it gets stolen, there you're responsible because it's clear had it been in the ground, the ganav would not have gotten to it. There are other cases, for example, if a shepherd takes a break in the middle of the day, he leaves his flock. He comes back, and he finds that a lion had come into the neighborhood and eaten a couple of his sheep. So in that case, what would have happened, if he was certainly pesheya, he left the sheep, and had someone stolen the sheep, he'd certainly be responsible. But although he was pesheya, what happened afterwards was an oinus. A lion came. Now, had he not been negligent, had he been there, what would have been the result? What?
Same thing?
Or he would have been eaten. So, some Rishayim say, you're going to be potter. Because although there was a tchilas of a pshia, the oinus that occurred, it would have happened regardless. It's like a malach HaMavis, malihocha, malihosam, and you're going to be potter. Other Rishayim argue, and they say, no. Although lions are not very intimidated by people, but it could be, if there would be a person there, it would decide, I'll go down the block, there's an easier prey over there, it wouldn't have come here. So although it's somewhat unlikely, because it does on occasion happen, some Rishonim say that you're going to be chayav, because had you been here, this hezek may not have happened. In by Austin Simon Reish Tzadi Aleph, it sounds like you're going to be potter. And by Shemer Socher, the same halacha is brought down, you're going to be chayiv. The Aruch HaShulchan says it depends. There's a difference between what kind of Shemer you are. A Shemer Chinam has less liability than a Shemer Socher. The Shach rejects this chiluk. The Shach holds that in both that the Ramah in both cases would hold that your potter. The halacha is not very clear. But the issue here is how far to take this. What level of causation do you need between the original pshia and the ultimate oinus that occurred? Mavriach Eri doesn't apply to Shomrim, but that's a different halacha. When you save someone from a potential danger, which may or may not have occurred, you can't send somebody the bill. If he hired you to do it, that's one thing, but if you on your own decide to send a bill to everyone in Muncie that you chased away all the lions, they would not have to pay you. Now, just one last halacha that we learned, that we see from this, is a fascinating machlokes. The case that the Gemara discusses is of tchilas v'pshia is you're supposed to bury money in the ground. Instead, you left it in this shack in the middle of the field. So it is a pshia b'negea fires. It is an oinus as far as gnev is concerned, because ganavim do not search fields or looking for money. So what is the halacha if you have, you're entrusted with jewelry or entrusted with money? Now, on one hand, you can put it in the safe in your house. On the other hand, you figure, you know what, you're going to hide it. You put it in your freezer, and put it in the chickens. You figure no one will look there. A guy who comes into the house, I guess while he's searching the house, he can't find the money, he gets hungry, takes some chicken, and he sees it, he steals it. Are you responsible or not? So Rashi and the Chumash Hadeshin say that no. Although something in a freezer is certainly easier to steal than something in a safe, he says, but you see from this Gemara that hiding it in a place where a ganav will not think to look, that's not called a pshia. That's a legitimate way. Sometimes you guard things by locking it by thick steel doors and many locks. Sometimes you guard it by putting it in an unexpected place where a person cannot find it. And therefore, Rashi and the Shemitah Zedesh and Paskin, Halacha L'maaseh, if you find a clever place to hide it where a person would not think of, that is a legitimate shmirah, and you'd be potter. The Sma doesn't like this pshat. He's Madche Rashi. I'm not sure exactly what the lamdus of Machlokes is, but certainly if a person wants to use this kind of plan, you know, I think the Ganovim are pretty, you know, already know to look through everyone's underwear drawer. You have to be careful that you have to make sure that it really is a good and creative place to hide it, and it's not something which people know about, because if they do, then it would be a pshia, and then you would have to put it in under the ground or in the safe, whatever the modern day equivalent of it is. So, okay, we are out of time. We'll continue next week. Just this year was dedicated to Le'ilu Nishmas, my grandmother, who's raised Bas Minna, whose yahrzeit is today.